So let's go back to this patient.
Yeah.
And she's a good example historically. She, a year ago, now she came in the door today. So what would you do?
Well, I'd do exactly the same because I've been one of the advocates for saying, hold on, there's these two revolutions in lung cancer. There's a personalized medicine revolution and an immunotherapy revolution. And they've just been edging around the room pretending the other one didn't exist. Whereas now these drugs are licensed and they're kind of, you know, butting heads in the real world.
So I'm going to say to you that in the age of checkpoint inhibitors, what's the rationale for using targeted therapy in this situation? I guess what we have, I'm going to say based on phase two data. So in other words, what do you need to see? If you see a response rate, quote, as a response rate, incidentally, for crizotinib with med exon 14.
Well, so the data that we presented was about 40%.
So that's, obviously there's no randomized study against chemo like the IPASS study.
Yeah.
But you're saying, okay, based on that, first line.
Yeah.
So how come?
Well, so you sit down with the lady and you say, so at that point in time, there wasn't, I guess she could have had single agent pembrolizumab. I can't exactly remember the timing because she had a high tumor proportion.
But if she came in today, she could have it.
Yeah. But I have to be honest, I sat down with her and I imposed my prejudices on her, which is she's a never smoker with a driver oncogene. And I said, I don't know that the immunotherapy is going to do anything for you. I know you've seen the TV adverts. I think we should start with the crizotinib.
I'm sure she can understand it too. And, you know, she sounds like she was pretty stable, right?
Yeah, not too bad.
So you had a little bit of time to see, if she, and she did have a response. What about the issue? I mean, we might as well just jump right into it because obviously the thing I wanted to see the most with this survey was what are you all doing with non-squamous metastatic cancer first line and with TPS under 50 and over 50, and particularly to what extent people are using the combination of pembrolizumab, pemetrexed, and carboplatin, which was just approved by the FDA, you know, I guess a month or so ago. And what we found, incidentally, I don't know where you landed there, but about a third of the docs use it, the triple combination, in the low PD-L1 situation. Most people use chemo, I guess maybe plus or minus bevacizumab. And then, interestingly, in the over 50%, everybody uses pembro alone, a little bit, 10%, the common triple combination. Does that surprise you?
No. I mean, that would concur with what I would do. So if you take the people with a driver oncogene, you put them to one side, and you have everyone else who walks through the door who has non-squamous cancer, you have this amazing situation where because we got, you know, accelerated approval, conditional approval, on the basis of a, you know, 120-patient phase two study, randomized phase two study, we have this option that now almost everybody who's non-squamous could get either monotherapy with pembrolizumab or combination with chemotherapy. So how do you do it? Well, for those who are less than 50% tumor proportion score, they don't have a monotherapy option. So it makes sense to add it in because that's an option. For the higher ones who were technically included in that KEYNOTE 21G study, I think a lot of people have said, well, hold on, the whole point about immunotherapy is we offer somebody a chemotherapy-free option. So if the patient is reasonably okay to try a 45% response rate, why not try the pembrolizumab alone and then you can keep everything else in reserve? I think that's the logic. The one exception is, again, the numbers are tiny. In the high, the 50% or more tumor proportion score population, it's about 20 patients absolutely within that study, and they report an 80% response rate. Do we believe that number? Is that going to vary when you look at more patients? Maybe. But some people have said, well, if the patient is highly symptomatic and you really want to get a response, maybe you should think about the combination even in the high tumor proportion score. Now, we're going to see that keynote. I think it's keynote 189,
right,
the phase three study, maybe reading it in a year or so's time. And there's no doubt that this accelerated approval has caused some controversy in the field. Should we have led to an approval when we have a phase three coming down? Or was that exactly the right scenario to do it? Because if we're wrong, well, we get the right answer in the phase three coming down without too much time spent doing the wrong thing.
So just to clarify, just out of curiosity, have you used the combination since it was approved?
Yes.
And what was the situation?
Somebody who was highly symptomatic, very heavy burden of disease, and they responded. If you ask me honestly, did they respond to the triplet combination or one aspect of it? I don't know. They did good.
It's such an interesting situation with maybe a lot of potential answers that would be reasonable.